Belfast priest Father Gary Donegan says he wants to put an end to what he has called circus funerals. In an interview in today's Belfast Telegraph, it's actually on the front page, the influential cleric says he does not want to allow rap music, football tops or huge floral displays at funerals. He's concerned that some of these eulogies and things that are being put on coffins, for example, are glamorising suicide for young people. He joins me on the line. Good morning to you, Father Donegan.
Morning, Vinny.
Tell me more what you mean by this, because some people will say that they want to personalise funerals, they want to try and maybe bring some kind of joy in a very dark, difficult time, and they do that by remembering the person that they were, whether that be through a football top or through music.
This isn't something new, Vinny. This goes back to 2012. When I was at a public meeting where a group was set up and I felt it was in danger of vigilantism towards possible drug influence in the area. And at that, I said I would lift and did so large quantities of drugs and got them disposed of through the PSNI. And one of the things was that at the time I said that under my watch, there would be no circus funerals. And because of the fact, with all the sensitivity in the world, and this is with permission with parents and speaking to them at the time, and that is to get the message out that, you know, this is a permanent solution to temporary issues for many people. Of course, we have to factor in mental health and all the kind of factors that actually be there. But the reality is, if you are a vulnerable young people person and you're under the influence of drugs, prescription, illegal, alcohol, and you get the sense of paranoia that comes with these kind of things, you kind of go on, well, you know, I could have my day where, you know, there's the grounds of the church looks like the Chelsea Flower Show, where they're going to play rap music, they're going to eulogise about me, and what kind of, and the reality is that recently, you know, I got a lot of publicity, but I've been doing this for years and years. I called for a czar on this area of mental health and suicide as far back as 5 or 6 years ago. This isn't something new. And the reality is, at the end of the day, is that basically a vulnerable person, my fear was copycat. My fear was the fact that if the message is out here, you don't make a judgment on the individual person who can do that, particularly if the person suffering from mental health issues, and no one could do that. But the reality is, at the end of the day, the general message has to go out. And the message has to go out that this is something that we need to tackle as a society. It's not up to, you know, individual priests.
But I'm sure it must lead to difficult conversations from the likes of yourself when there's a family and friends that are mourning someone that has taken their own life. And they want to represent who that person was.
So I mean, that's actually the cost of actually being a priest or a minister in these situations is massive, even on your own mental health. In terms of the reality is that you know, it's done with all the incredible sensitivity that you could possibly say, and you're kind of saying to the parents in a very gentle kind of way, would you want this visited? Or the horror that you're going through now on somebody else's family, if we can be, you know, part of a suicide prevention strategy, we can begin by sending the message out here at a service where the church is probably packed, particularly in areas where maybe there's third generation non-practice, that this is the opportunity to speak to young people that you don't get.
I'm just reading in the Belfast Telegraph today. You say it's tragic, it's a waste, it's not a celebration.
No, it's a commemoration. You honour the person, you speak about them, you speak about God's mercy, you speak about the fact that none of us can judge anybody.
Would you understand why some people feel it should be a celebration to some extent, not of their death, but of their life and all the positive elements that were in their life?
You can, Vinny, you can celebrate that life, but there's a line between celebration and glorification. What you're actually saying is, yes, of course, and celebrate and speak of the things they've done and the difference they actually made. But there's a difference between that and kind of turning it into something that kind of goes, well, you know, this is okay.
There's a statement from the Health Minister, Robin Swan. Of course, we heard on Good Morning Ulster this morning, and it's in different papers, about that letter published today highlighting suicide. It's signed by different celebrities in Northern Ireland, and he says suicide prevention is a top priority for my department and for me personally. Those signing the letter published today are right to highlight suicide as one of the biggest challenges facing our society, and that urgent action is needed. My department has already set targets for 50% of frontline health and social care staff to be trained in suicide prevention. A number of important initiatives under the Protect Life to Suicide Prevention Strategy are also currently being piloted, and this includes our Towards Zero Suicide initiative. And he also highlights that the lifeline number 0808 808 8000, 0808 808 8000, if anyone is in distress or despair. Just briefly, Father, you mentioned, you know, the stress and what this does to your own mental health, because you are there trying to support people at their darkest times. So how do you cope with that?
Well, a number of years ago, I got hit with a water cannon, and I ended up going on a sabbatical, not by choice, but I ended up in Berkeley. And when I was actually there, I was on a retreat, and in a place called Bear Creek, and I was in a log cabin at the end of the woods, and about the third night that I was actually there, I was kind of hit with a tsunami of imageries of suicide and murders and stuff like that there, and that's when I realized that I spent my lifetime telling other people how to get help, and having watched the film Hurt Locker, I had a kind of eureka moment a few months before that, and I realized that my way of dealing with trauma was more trauma, and I had to seek help out there in a form of post-traumatic stress disorder. But I think that identifying it, first of all, and having the courage to be able to identify that, like we have incredible people, Linda Bryans, Michelle Gildenou, Chris Kerr, you know, to name just a few people who spoke and had the courage to speak about their own mental health issues. We're all very vulnerable people, and sometimes we're just hanging in there coping. Yeah. And Bear Grylls, who seems an indestructible character, said, the greatest thing I ever learned to say was help. And there's Ireland's book of the year is called The Boy, the Mole, the Fox and the Horse. And it's a beautiful book, and the illustrations in it. And that line is quoted in it. And I used it recently. I think everybody should actually have a copy. And it's the fact is that this is something that is indicative within our society. One in four people here have some issue around mental health. Robin Swan, who's, you know, a man of integrity, man who has lauded the health service because he benefited from his own family. I'm saying to him, you know, thank you for the initiatives that are actually going to be. Come up and visit us in the Hooban Centre, and we'll let you meet the people.
Father, thank you very much for your time this morning. 0808 808 8000 is that lifeline number.